He taught in many different ways. Some of the ways that Jesus taught would be such things as lecture-type teaching. I think we can see that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. There Jesus is setting forth some very basic principles of the gospel of the kingdom. In the course of that lecture-type lesson, he is making some contrast between that which ye have heard of old time and that which I say unto you. And another method that Jesus used in teaching was the method of answering a question with a question. An example of this would be in Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through verse 27, when people came to Jesus and questioned him concerning his authority. By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? The answer that Jesus gave was in the form of a question. And the question had to do with the baptism of John. Whence was it, said Jesus, from heaven or of men? And he said unto them in such plain language that they could recognize that he is placing the responsibility of giving an answer to them. They began to reason among themselves. If we say from heaven, then he's going to say to us, why don't you obey? But on the other hand, if we say of men, we fear the people, for they hold John as a prophet. They therefore said, we don't know. And Jesus said, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. That was a very effective method of teaching people. Not all who were taught in that fashion accepted the instruction, but they recognized the point. They didn't have any difficulty of understanding what Jesus was talking about. Another very forceful way in which Jesus taught was by the use of parables. There are at least 31 parables that are mentioned in the New Testament Jesus used in order to teach some lessons, perhaps as many as 35. And at least 83% of all of the parables that Jesus used had to do with the matter of stewardship. In other words, Jesus is saying unto the people in parables, you have placed in your care the management, the oversight, and the administration of that which belongs to somebody else. That's what stewardship is all about. We have something entrusted unto us that doesn't really belong to us. And yet we are charged with the responsibility of managing it, of overseeing the use of it, and of administering in this way, because one day we're going to have to give an account of the way that we have used that which he has placed in our trust. A parable, literally, is that which is laid along beside of. It's the same basic root idea that we have in a parallel. And when we draw two lines parallel to each other, they never do cross. They always run the same distance apart. And a parable, therefore, is the laying along beside of that for the purpose of a contrast or a comparison, as in some cases, in order to emphasize in a very plain way that people can recognize the value of the lesson the Lord intends. Of the lessons that we have in parables are on the surface. We have to dig down and find what the true meaning of many of the parables are. But a parable is the laying along beside of something that is perhaps very familiar to the people, an application of something that is divine. One definition of a parable for little children is that it is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus used parables in talking about things with which the people were familiar. He would talk about things that they knew about, but he would make a spiritual application of them so that it would impress upon their minds the deep meaning of the things that he had to say. William E. Vine tells us about a parable is the placing beside as a definition, but he also gives two dangers that should be avoided in seeking to interpret the parables of the Scriptures. The first one of these is that of ignoring the important feature. That's a common fault among a lot of students of the Bible. When they begin to look at the parables that Jesus used to emphasize some very important point, they will fail sometimes to see the important and the real main feature. And so they miss the lessons intended. But a second danger that is just as common among people today as the other is that of trying to make all of the details mean something. And a whole lot of times when people begin to interpret parables, that's a mistake that they make. They want to see in every detail that's mentioned in the parable some kind of an application and some meaning attached to that. When in reality, most of the parables that Jesus used, there is one main point to be made. This is not to say that there are no secondary points to be learned from these parables. But it is to say that if we are not careful and try to make an application of every minute detail in the parable to mean something, that we're liable to come up missing the point. So let's look at some of the teaching of Jesus in parables. Jesus taught in parables for some reasons. And we'll look first of all at the teaching of Jesus in parables as a method of teaching, or a technique that he used in order to impart some information to the people so that they could understand that and get the meaning that he intended for them to have. First of all, he did this to answer some questions that people had. We mentioned the fact that Jesus taught in this fashion of answering a question with a question, but oftentimes there were questions put to Jesus by people whom he was seeking to teach that were very sincere and that needed an answer. And oftentimes, Jesus would use a parable in order to answer that question. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, verses 25 through 37, is the parable of the Good Samaritan. But Jesus didn't just up and tell this parable until, first of all, he was asked some questions by a lawyer who came to him. And first of all, this lawyer wanted to know what to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus answered him by saying, well, what does the law say? Remember that the law of Moses was in effect at that time. And Jesus said, what does the law say about this? And the man said, well, the law says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and all thy soul. And that's the first commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, that's the right answer. Now you do that. But the man was willing to justify himself. And that's a problem with a lot of us too. We seek to justify ourselves in the things that we want to do. And that was the problem with this lawyer. And so when he was willing to justify himself, his next question to Jesus was, well, who's my neighbor? Now Jesus didn't answer in just plain simple terms, but he told a parable. And the parable is one that we're familiar with, I'm sure. The man that was going down the road and he was beaten and robbed and left along the side of the road. A priest came along and saw him, but he passed by on the other side and didn't do anything about it. A Levite came along and saw him. He likewise went on his way without aiding the man at all. But a Samaritan came along. Now remember that Samaritans were hated by the Jews. They were looked down upon as being equally as bad, if not worse, than Gentiles. And to a Jew, that was pretty bad. And so Jesus uses a Samaritan in his parable in order to teach a lesson in answering a question that was put to him. This Samaritan saw him, and he helped him. Not only did he personally administer unto the man's needs, but he took him to an inn and left him there where he could receive other care, and left money to pay for the care, and said, if there's any more that is needed when I come this way again, I'll pay it. Now Jesus said, you make the application. And you know, when we learn a lesson that way, we learn it better, We're more apt to remember it, and we are more apt to put it into practice in our own lives. This man said, why, the man who ministered unto his needs, that's his neighbor. And so he had his answer. Jesus used a parable to answer that question. But another illustration of this is a question that Peter put to Jesus about forgiveness. He said, how often shall I forgive a man? 7 times in a day? And Jesus went on to point out, and this is in Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21 through verse 35 of that chapter. And the lesson that the Lord is giving here has to do with the subject of forgiveness. And he said to Simon Peter, not until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And then he told the parable. Here is the parable. There is a king. And he had a servant. And the servant owed him some great sum of money. And when the man called him that payment might be made, he fell down before him and asked him to have patience with him. And he said, I will pay thee all. And this lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But now this same servant went out and found a fellow servant who owed him just a little bit of money. And he said, pay me. And he said, I don't have any. Have patience with me and I'll pay you all. But instead of having compassion and forgiving him, he had him put in prison till all was paid. And then the lesson, and remember that this is Jesus teaching an important lesson about the subject of forgiveness, and he's using a parable in order to do it. Now, which one of these learned the lesson of forgiveness? Now, the point that Jesus makes in connection with this, he doesn't leave this to Peter's imagination. In verses 34 and 35, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now listen, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's not forget that there are conditions that the Lord has given in his word that must be met in order for one to obtain forgiveness, whether we are seeking forgiveness from God or whether we are seeking forgiveness from a brother. Luke, the 17th chapter, in the first few verses, says that if a brother sins against us, that we are to rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. The Lord doesn't promise to forgive us unless we repent. And he doesn't teach us to forgive a brother who sins against us unless that brother repents. But I'll tell you, if the brother repents, we'd better forgive him if we want God in heaven to forgive us. Jesus emphasizes that point very emphatically and says, if we do not forgive, neither will God in heaven forgive us. But he also used parables to teach some very important lessons, not necessarily prompted by a question from another. There are some very important lessons that we can learn about the kingdom of God from various parables that Jesus used to emphasize those lessons. Take, for example, in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Many parables are found in that one chapter, and the value of the kingdom is pointed out in at least 2 of those parables so that we can understand that. Verse 34, for example, this man who found a treasure hid in a field. He recognized the value of the treasure, and so he hid that treasure and went and sold all that he had so that he could buy that field. That treasure was so valuable to him. Now, Jesus is not telling us to go out into the fields and look for a gold mine or a diamond mine or a gold or an oil well site, and go and sell everything that we have and buy the field so we can get rich. But he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. That the kingdom of heaven is of such great value that we ought to be willing to give up everything that we own to be a part of that kingdom. The next 2 verses, the pearl of great price. This time, the man is in search of a great pearl. And as he goes in search of the pearl, he finally finds it. But he doesn't have enough cash to buy it at the time, and so he sells everything that he has. It is of such great value to him that he puts it first in priorities. Goes and buys that pearl of great price. The kingdom of heaven is that valuable to us. And we ought to learn the lesson, as Jesus taught it in the parables, to seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, with the assurance that all of the necessary things of this life will be added unto us. Perhaps one of the most well known of all of the parables, the parable of the sower, is told to teach us some very important lessons. And the important lessons that are uppermost in this parable are the lessons of the importance of the Word of God, that seed of the kingdom that is to be sown in the hearts of the people. And a second lesson that we can learn that is of great value unto us is to have the proper kind of a receptive heart to receive that Word. Both are necessary in order to produce the fruit, whether it be 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. We have to have the right seed. We have to have the Word of God, and that without any contamination. But we also have to have the right kind of heart. The willingness of the heart to receive that seed into it, that the fruit may be produced. In 15th chapter of the book of Luke, we have three outstanding parables, the first of which, in verses 1 through 7, is that parable of the lost sheep. The man had 99 safe in the fold, but there was one that was lost. And Jesus, in telling this parable about the man leaving the 99 safe in the fold and going in search of the one that was lost, tells us how valuable one soul is in the eyes of the Lord. This is not the only way that we learn this lesson, but it is emphasized in this way by the Lord. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It is of such great value that we ought to be willing to leave the 99 that are safe in the fold and go look for, even though it is just one that's lost. That's how Jesus emphasized the importance of one soul. But what is the value of teaching in parables? As I think we can see in the parables that Jesus told and the questions that he answered concerning why he taught thusly, that there is great value in teaching in parables, the first of which is that those who are honest might understand. Look at Matthew chapter 13 for just a minute. Beginning in the first verse of that chapter, we learn that the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Can you get the picture? A great multitude of people along a seashore, and Jesus in a ship just offshore. Now he is ready to begin teaching this great multitude of people, and how does he do it? In parables. And he spake this parable, first of all, unto them, a sower went forth to sow. Then he went on with the teaching of this parable of the sower. And in the meantime, these disciples of the Lord came, beginning verse 10, and said unto him, why speakest thou unto us, or them, in parables? Here's the answer Jesus gave. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. The disciples of the Lord had some understanding of the truth that Christ taught. And as he taught them in parables concerning the nature of the kingdom, the importance of the right seed to produce the kingdom, and of the right kind of hearts into which the seed would find lodging, they would get a deeper insight into the meaning of the kingdom. I think we need to have a much deeper meaning of the nature of the kingdom of God than most of us have. We would do well, therefore, to study in depth these parables that Jesus told so that we could have the deeper meaning. Many had very little interest back then in understanding the nature of the kingdom of the Lord. Therefore, they would not understand the lessons that were taught to them in parables. Parables, therefore, help those who are interested in the truth to remember the lessons. Think about the freshness of the parables of Jesus. And think about the beauty of the language that he used in order to convey ideas to the minds of the people. And think about the earnestness with which Jesus told these parables. And I think we can see that this indicates originality. He was telling them something that was with him so they could learn some very valuable lessons. Think about how suitable these parables were to explain and to enforce the teaching that Jesus gave unto the people. The fact that he could use parables on such a variety of subjects and yet put them in such simple form makes them much easier for us to remember. And once we have gone through and searched out the meaning of the parables, we can make them become a part of us. If we have that honesty of heart to understand what the Lord is talking about. If a person really wants to understand, he can. Jesus said, "If any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether I speak of the Father or whether I speak of myself." John 7, verse 17. But the person who engages in a study of the parables, particularly, since that's what we're talking about today, must do so with a desire to know and to appropriate the lessons to his own life. We ask ourselves the question sometimes, why is it that so many of the people of the world who are so intelligent cannot see the truth of the gospel? I'll tell you why. They are not using their intelligence to learn the truth. They do not have any concern about appropriating the truth of the gospel of Christ to their lives. That's why they can't see. It takes a lot more than intelligence to be able to see the truth. It takes a desire on the part of the individual to appropriate that truth to his own life, to make the necessary changes in being transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's why Jesus taught in parables. He knew that there were some people who had very little concern. And he knew that there were others who had a very deep concern about understanding the kingdom and about becoming a part of the kingdom. And they are the kind of people who would search out the truth in the parables so that they could understand and appropriate. But then there's another reason. That is that the dishonest and the self-righteous might not understand. Jesus taught in parables for that reason also. Such people as the dishonest, those who will not handle the word of God correctly, but do so deceitfully, dishonestly, are satisfied with that which is superficial. Christianity is not for such people as that. The person who is satisfied to continue to just skim the top of the surface and never dig deeply into those still waters that run deep and slow, Christianity is not for him or her. Christianity is for the person who wants to understand and who has a desire that would cause him to put forth the necessary effort to learn all the truth that he could, who has a disposition of heart to appropriate that truth to his own life. That kind of person would become enriched in his knowledge and understanding of the will of God. But the person who just is satisfied with what is top surface will never understand the kingdom. Jesus taught in parables so that those who are dishonest, so that those who are self-righteous, those who are satisfied with just topwater knowledge would not understand. Not that Jesus didn't want people to understand, but the kingdom is for people who want that above everything else. When we take advantage of opportunities, we're blessed with more opportunities. But when we neglect them, they're taken away from us. God does not force the truth upon any individual. But those who do not love it will be lost. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verses 10 through 12, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God doesn't force you to accept the truth today. It's there for you. And if you love the truth, if you want truth above everything else in the world, you can learn and become obedient. When we study the parables of Jesus, we should be impressed with the fact that this encourages diligence on our part. And we need to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God. Diligence is required in order for us to understand the meaning, and that the meaning is not just simply on the surface. What a man uses becomes a part of himself. But what he does not use, he only seems to have. Jesus said so, Luke 8 and verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. Seems like he has a whole lot, but he really doesn't, because he is not putting forth the diligent effort. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12, which I read just a few minutes ago, says a very similar thing. One of the main lessons I get out of this is the importance of making sure that I always have a desire to know the truth, that I want to know what Jesus has to say about whatever the subject is, and also that it's going to take a diligent effort on my part to learn the truth. I must be willing to put forth that effort in order to learn the truth and appropriate it to my own life. Doing what I learned from a study of the teaching of the Word of God. Jesus taught many ways, and we can learn a great deal, not only as far as the subject matter itself is concerned from studying the parables of Jesus, but we can learn something about the important techniques of imparting information to other people. Do we really want to dig into and have a better understanding of the Word of God? If so, then we're going to lay aside our prejudices, our preconceived notions and ideas, and accept what the Word of God says. The Word of God says to you who've never come into His kingdom, that whatever it takes on your part by way of sacrifice in order to enter into that kingdom, it's worth all of it and more. He calls upon you, therefore, to believe in Him as the Son of God. to repent of your sins, turning away from all of the ways that are contrary to God's way, confessing that faith and submitting to the will to be buried with Christ by baptism into death. Arise a new creature, entering into the kingdom of the new birth, realizing its value, working for its upbuilding, and the salvation of your soul and of others. If as a child of God you become unfaithful to the Lord, He pleads with you to return in penitence, confessing your sins and praying for forgiveness. So if you're subject to our Lord's invitation, won't you heed His teaching and come to Him for pardon? While together we stand and sing this song, we bid you come.